So let's pray for our time in the Word, which is actually a lot about what Judith was just talking about. So, Father, we just lift up this time in the Word, and we pray for our hearts to be open, our ears to be open, our eyes to be open, our minds to be open. And we ask, Lord, that we would not just be hearers of your Word, but doers of your Word. In Yeshua's awesome name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got a little humorous story here about Irving. Seems Irving was walking through a forest pondering life. He walked, he pondered, he walked, and he pondered. Felt very close to nature and even close to God. He felt so close to God that he felt if he spoke, God would listen. So he asked, God, are you listening? And God replied, yes. Irving stopped and pondered some more. He looks toward the skies and said, God, what is a million years to you? And God replied, Irving, a second to me is like a million years to you. Pretty profound, huh? So Irving continued to walk and to ponder, walk and ponder. And then he looked to the sky again and said, God, what is $1 million to you? And God replied, Irving, $1 million to me is like a penny to you. It means almost nothing to me. It does not even have a value. It's so little. Irving looked down, pondered a bit, and looked up to the sky and said, God, can I have $1 million? And God replied, in a second. Okay. So, interesting interlude here with Desi's testimony and Judith's explanation of what the intercessors had been hearing, because today we're going to go back and talk about gifts again. We were working our way through the gifts from God, and last week we did prophecy and the gift of tongues, and this week we're going to do the gift of discerning of spirits. And we'll see that whole gist of what Judith was saying is that to do warfare, we need a rest so that we can hear from God as what to do. That's, as you'll find out, all about what discerning of spirits is about. Okay? So we're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the charismatic gifts or the gifts of the Spirit are listed. And I'm just going to read some phrases for the, for to one is given through the Spirit discerning of spirits. In Hebrew, it's levichon et haruachot, kind of the vision of the Spirit. Chavon is vision in Hebrew, so it's like the vision of the Spirit. And we know from what we've studied before that the Holy Spirit in us brings us gifts, and they are for the common good. In other words, for the good of others, ourselves, but also for others. So the first application of this gift is very important. I'm just going to spend a little bit of time on it. But that relates back to what we studied last week about prophecy. And we talked about prophecy and how it can be preaching and things like that. But the question of how do you tell if somebody is prophesying or preaching and it's from the Lord or teaching? Is it from the Lord? What spirit is behind them? So the gift of discerning of spirits is to enable us to tell if someone is speaking from the Lord or they're speaking from some other spirit, discerns that spirits. In John chapter 16, part of that test is Yeshua said, he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, will glorify me because he will receive from what is mine and announce it to you. So whenever someone is speaking, if they are not glorifying Yeshua, I'll say it in a double negative, it's not the Holy Spirit. Okay, they may claim that they're being led by the Spirit. If it's not glorifying Yeshua, if it's glorifying themselves, or it's glorifying some organization, or it's glorifying some theology, then it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies Yeshua. Now, the thing that I see about the importance of this is that this is really desperately needed in our culture today. And the reason is that communications have exploded in our culture. We can hear teaching or prophecy from people we don't know at all on the internet and on the radio and on television. And if you remember in Matthew, Yeshua said, we'll know teachers by their fruits, right? A good teacher will bear good fruit. But the problem is when you're watching on television or you're watching on the internet or you're listening on the radio, how can you tell what the fruit of that person is? You don't know what that person, you see their TV persona. You don't know what they're like when they're home with their kids. They might be, you know, abusive or something, or they might be really prejudiced or something. You don't know. All you know is what they portray. It's like they're acting, and you don't know what they're really like. So how do you tell? How do you tell? Well, you need the gift of discerning of spirits to know what you can take in and what you should block. So the second application is going to be what I'm mostly going to be talking about today. When I first heard about the gift of discerning of spirits, I was told that this was one of the minor gifts, less important gifts. And when I first learned about it, it was explained to me when this gift was working in a believer, they'd be able to look at a demonically oppressed person and be able to see what that spirit was with either their physical eyes or their spiritual eyes. Like they'd see, behind the person's head an image of a spirit, and then they know what to deal with. Well, first of all, I can tell you it's never worked that way with me. I've never seen a spirit like that. How is this gift of discerning of spirits to be used? Well, I've come to understand it's not just to help people who are casting out demons. It's actually vitally important for all areas of our life. This gift gives the ability to discern the spirit world, okay? To see into the unseen world of the spirit, to discern when spirits are opposing us or other people in every area of life, in health, in relationships, in finances, in politics, in education, in communication, in every area of life, to know what those spiritual forces are and to know the spiritual roots of people's problems, including sickness, including disease, and also to discern what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I've come to learn that this is one of, if not the most important, valuable gifts of God. And so I was going to talk about this and include it in last week's message when I talk about prophecy and tongues. I gave half of the message to each one. And then when I got into this, it was like, no, that's a whole message on just this one gift. That's how important I believe it is. And I believe that because this gift has worked through me many, many times, bearing dramatic fruit, supernaturally revealing to me that a spirit is at work in a situation that I didn't think had any spiritual connotation. So how does that ability to discern, how does that help us? Why do we need to know that there's a spirit involved? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, a verse you should all be familiar with, says, "We are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authority, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our real opponents are spiritual forces of evil. And what's given before that is a little hierarchy of the authority structure of the kingdom of darkness. But basically, they're all spiritual forces of evil. Some are principalities and some are rulers, but they're all spiritual forces of evil. And we are unaware of their presence or involvement in a situation, we attempt to deal with it using our natural human abilities, like logic or physical strength or facts or medicine or diet. We attempt to deal with the things in the natural. But if a spiritual force is involved, all that's futile. It's a waste of energy. It's like having a blindfold on and trying to box against a person who doesn't have a blindfold on. Can you imagine? I'm swinging really hard, not hitting anything, and I keep getting hit because that person can see and I can't see it coming. So we have to use spiritual weapons to defeat spiritual foes, but we won't see the need for spiritual weapons unless we discern the involvement of spiritual forces of evil in the situation. Begin to see the importance of this? In Luke 10, I just remind you of this. We've gone over these verses frequently recently. Yeshua said, "Remember, I have given you authority so you can trample down snakes and scorpions, indeed all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed." But you can't trample down the enemy's forces unless you discern that the enemy is involved in this, right? We're given the authority, but we have to know that it's there. And then when we've got the authority, here's the weapons that he gives us. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, another very familiar verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. So what are these mighty weapons? The blood of the Lamb. I believe what that means is the power of all the promises in the new covenant, the promise of authority over Satan, the power to bind and loose, the power to break curses, and most importantly, the authority Yeshua gave us to use his name to remove the spirits that we discern. But that's all dependent on discerning the spirits first. Now, over the past several years, we've looked extensively at what are called spiritual roots. Some of the spiritual roots that we've talked about here are like bitterness and all the things associated with bitterness, fear and all its varieties like worry and stress, lust, pride, rejection, anger, envy, accusation, involvement in the occult. Those are all spiritual roots. Spiritual roots are spiritual forces of evil. They're the same thing. And we understand that medical research has concluded that 80% of chronic diseases have physical diseases or emotional diseases are caused by spiritual roots, which they call, medical science calls them emotional or psychological dysfunctions. So here's an example. A well-accepted principle of medical science is that stress causes high blood pressure. Spiritual roots can cause more problems, though, than disease. They destroy our peace, which actually leads to disease if we can't sleep. They destroy relationships. Spiritual forces of evil destroy relationships. They destroy finances, ministry, bearing fruit in the ministry. They destroy careers, and they especially affect our children. So, how can we tell when a spiritual force of evil is the problem? Well, I had a recent encounter with someone just highlighted this to me. It was so clear. This person needed to forgive someone of an offense. And this person knew God's command is to forgive. They knew it. And they knew that to be forgiven by God, he needed to forgive this other person, because that's what the scripture says. And he also knew that to forgive did not mean he had to trust that person again. But he still couldn't forgive. And so, just like Judith was talking about this morning, just a few minutes ago, as I prayed with this person, I got quiet so I could hear what the Lord was saying. And the gift of discerning of spirits, which is how I believe it works, it just a thought comes into your head, and it showed me there was a spirit of unforgiveness. There was a spirit of unforgiveness. Because this person had hung on to his anger for a long time, that spirit had gained power over him, and now he couldn't forgive. It had control of him. So no matter how much he understood, no matter how much he believed it was right to do, he could not forgive because he was under the power of the spirit. And the power of that spirit had to be broken by the authority of the name of Yeshua, and then he was able to forgive. That hold on him was broken. So do you see here how clear it was to me? That's when a spirit is involved. Now, the gift of discerning of spirits is got many, many examples of spiritual forces of evil at work in the Bible. You just ask for the gift of the discerning of spirits and then think about this, the accounts in the Bible of different people. Now, sometimes, I'm sure you've thought of this, we talk about how biblical characters are so human because most of them made some very bad, out-of-character, foolish decisions, right? We think about them as being very human. But I can see that whenever the biblical narrative describes an incident where a person does something harmful, which they should know better, and it's a really foolish thing to do, the real cause of those foolish decisions is the involvement of a spiritual force of evil. So I want to just take you on a journey now through some stories. I hope all of you are very familiar with all of these stories, but I don't know if you've ever seen him this way, but you'll see the involvement of the spirits here. Starting right at the beginning, it's pretty obvious, Eve had been told to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not to be done, and if she did it, she would die, right? Why did she disobey? Well, we all know the serpent was right there. What was the serpent? A spiritual force of evil, right? And what was that spirit? It was a spirit of pride. It was a spirit of pride because the enemy deceived her and told her that if she would eat that fruit, what would she be like? Like God. So Eve's foolish, harmful decision was prompted, she was deceived into it. How? By a spiritual force of evil. Why did Cain murder Abel? It was a spirit of envy lurking at Cain's door, ready to tempt him to get rid of that person who seemed to please God more than he did, his brother. What possible good could have come from that evil deed? What was Cain thinking? He wasn't thinking. He was being manipulated by a spirit of envy. Why did Ishmael mock his little brother Isaac? Same spirit. Envy. Why did Jacob cheat Esau out of his birthright? Couple of spirits there. Greed, wanting to be the older brother so he'd be in control. Why did Jacob deceive Isaac to steal Esau's blessing? That was a spirit of manipulation in his mother. If you remember reading the story, how Rebekah figured all this out. And remember when we looked at it, we said, what was she thinking? This couldn't have possibly worked. Dress him up like his brother and put sheepskins on his arms and fool his father. Eventually his father's going to find out, right? And his brother's going to find out and want to kill him. What was she thinking? It was a spirit. Why did Joseph's brothers sell their own brother, whom their father loved, into slavery? And they caused their father to endure 15 years of grief. Spirit of envy. They envied how the father loved Joseph. Why did Korah try to take over from Moses? Moses had just led the people out of Egypt, destroyed Egypt's army in the Red Sea. I mean, God did it, but through Moses. And now this cousin of his is saying, oh, I should be the leader. That's crazy. Why did he do it? Spirit of rebellion. Desire for power. Why did Samson tell Delilah that if his hair was cut, he'd lose his supernatural strength? When, if you read the story, she had already betrayed him twice. Why did he do that? Was he just stupid? Spirit of lust. Spirit of lust. Why did David, a man after God's own heart, think he could commit adultery with Bathsheba, murder her husband, and still have favor with God? A spirit of lust and murder. And why did Solomon, a man who had an abundance of God's wisdom, why did he take 700 wives and worship their gods, build altars to their gods? Lust and idolatry, spirits. And after he assumed the throne, why did Solomon's son Rehoboam refuse to treat his subjects with kindness and saw the kingdom split apart? Spirit of pride. Can you see how many bad decisions there were there? That people just with average intelligence would never make a decision like that. There was a spiritual force involved in everyone deceiving and lying and twisting and manipulating to get the people to make those bad decisions. So everybody agree with me? There are spiritual forces of evil all through the Old Testament. So how did people in the Tanakh and the Old Testament deal with the messes that these spirits caused? Well, David, one example, he humbled himself. Remember when the prophet came to him and confronted him? He humbled himself. He repented. He asked for forgiveness and made sacrifices, and he was able to continue on as king. God forgave him. He didn't die or lose the kingdom. So in the context of what we've learned here about the 11 R's, remember the R's? David applied 4 of the 11 R's. He realized his sin. He took responsibility for it. He repented of it, and he received God's forgiveness. But he didn't apply the rest of the R's to remove that spirit. So who knows what happened? They lost the child. But what happened with the next generation? They did the same things that he did. If you know the story, David's son, Amnon, raped his half-sister, again inspired by what? Spirit of lust. And then Tamar's full brother, Absalom, killed Amnon. So fornication and murder, just what David had done, happened again in the next generation. Do you see it? Same spirits had power. Jacob, he humbled himself. He gave gifts to his brother. He apologized to his brother, called him master, placated Esau so that they were able to live together. So Esau didn't murder him. But Jacob had entertained that spirit of envy, and it was passed down to his sons. And it tormented him again when his sons became envious of their youngest brother, Joseph. And they sold Joseph into slavery and conspired to kill him. And Jacob ended up with 15 more years of grief. So we can see in the Tanakh this recognition of sin and of spiritual forces and taking responsibility for it and repenting and receiving God's forgiveness. But we have no evidence in the Tanakh of anyone exerting any power against those spirits. No evidence of that. Was there discernment of spirits in the Tanakh? How many think there was? There was some, a little bit. Remember that David used to play the harp for Saul because the spirit came upon Saul? So Saul got relief when David played the harp. They didn't get rid of the spirit, but Saul got relief. Moses wrote about Satan tempting Eve, so Moses knew something about this. So there was some knowledge of the presence of spiritual forces of evil in the Tanakh, some knowledge of how to bring relief from their torment. Now, let's look at a dramatic, and I hope you can see that how dramatically different this change is. I call it a paradigm shift. That's a word that's become popular recently when all the conditions change. Everything changes. The world changes. And the paradigm shift happened when we see how Yeshua dealt with the spiritual forces of evil. In verse 11, a woman who had a spirit which had crippled her for 18 years, she was bent double and unable to stand erect at all. She came up. On seeing her, Yeshua called her and said to her, "Lady, you have been set free from your weakness." He put his hands on her, and at once she stood upright and began to glorify God. Why was she crippled for 18 years? Bent double? She had a spirit, it says. Or I like to think of it like a spirit had her. And what did Yeshua do? He discerned the spirit. He didn't play the harp to help her to bear it, right? It would have been very nice if he played the harp and she would have been peaceful, bent over double. He simply commanded that spirit to leave, and it left. So just so we understand, how do these spiritual forces like this gain power over people? Well, we don't really know because we don't know the person's history, but could have been that woman's disobedience to some of God's laws, and somehow over time the spirit gained power because she kept disobeying. Or could have been generationally. Could have been something in her generations that allowed this access, just like in Jacob's family. It seemed like the sons were subject to these things because the father had been involved in it. Another place where this happened, Matthew chapter 9, as they were going, a man controlled by a demon and unable to speak was brought to Yeshua. After the demon was expelled, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed. "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel," they said. So he expelled the demon. Verse 34, though, says, "But the Pharisees said, 'It's through the ruler of the demons that he expels demons.'" The Pharisees accused Yeshua of being a spiritual force of evil himself, because this deliverance was obviously the most well-known characteristic of his ministry. And it was not something that they could do. So we can see another spirit here, right? Jealousy. How come he could do that? We can't do that. Now, I want to take a look at a very little word in verse 33. Could you back up to verse 33? Little word, this. What is the this in this phrase? Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. Well, we understand that by Yeshua's time, most people seem to be aware of the existence of evil spirits. In Mark 7, a mother told Yeshua her daughter had an unclean spirit. In Mark 9, a father told Yeshua it was a demon that threw his son into a fire. So they knew about these things. The this is not the discernment. The this is that Yeshua exhibited the power to remove the spirits. First of all, to discern it well, and then remove the power of deliverance. And those abilities, the ability to discern the spirits and the ability to remove them, that's the paradigm shift. That's the huge change. It's one of the changes that came with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it is world-changing, absolutely world-changing. The discernment and the authority that Yeshua had. And why is it world-changing? Because it wasn't just he who had it, right? He gave it to who else? He gave it to his followers. It's an integral part of what he gave to us. So, what about this gift? Have I seen anything personally of this gift working? Well, let me share a few experiences that I've seen about this. Concerning diseases, research and Bible study have shown that there are spiritual roots to many diseases. Just mention high blood pressure. The root is worry or stress. There's a spiritual root of digestive disorders, which is also worry and stress. There's a spiritual root of autoimmune diseases. When the immune system tries to destroy the body, it's self-hatred. There's a spiritual root of bone diseases. It's in the Proverbs. It says that the bones are weakened. Envy weakens the bones. So we now have research, access to research that has uncovered the root of many chronic incurable diseases. And I recommend to you again the ministry of Pastor Henry Wright and Be In Health, because they've kept a database on these things of people who have come and been healed of certain things and what the spirit was that was behind it. Now, medical science is often able to diagnose these problems in a similar way. Doctors know that stress, anger, cause many physical problems. But what is medical science's remedy for them? Medication, drugs. And the drugs don't deal with the spiritual problem. They just make it tolerable. And the person who's being manipulated and tormented is still being manipulated and tormented. It's just not affecting them that way. It's only the Holy Spirit that will show us how to deal with the roots. So here's some experiences Diane and I have had to start with. We learned with our children when we were new believers with small children the most about this. There was a period of incredible learning. Our family was typical. We had issues raising our children, sicknesses, colic, headaches, other issues like nightmares and children refusing to eat. And we battled those problems in the natural. We battled the sickness by going to the doctor and getting medications. We battled the refusing to eat with punishment, spanking. We battled the nightmares. Well, we knew we couldn't battle the nightmares that way, so we just prayed. But all of that was futile. It was wasted energy. It was like boxing with a blindfold on. So what I'm about to say is controversial. And that is, notice who Yeshua delivered in the following passage. Mark 7, 25. Instead, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit in her came to him and fell down at his feet. The woman was a Greek, by birth a Syrophoenician, and she begged him to drive the demon out of her daughter. And then to verse 29, then he said to her, "For such an answer, you may go home. The demon has left your daughter." She went back home and found the child lying on the couch, the demon gone. A similar passage in Mark about a child, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But we learn from these passages and from raising our children that Satan attacks the weak. He sends his spiritual forces of evil against children. And as parents, we learn to stop fighting against his attacks on our children with natural carnal weapons and use the spiritual weapons that are mighty through God. And we saw amazing, immediate results after we pray for discernment and then took authority over what the gift of discerning of spirits had showed us. The incident when it first happened was absolutely amazing. We were at my mother-in-law's house, and our son was 6 years old at the time, and my brother-in-law had recently gotten saved, and he was in the house giving his testimony to his mother. And my son started acting like he didn't feel well. So I took him outside, and he was complaining of this terrible headache, and I could see right away that this was the enemy trying to disrupt what was going on in the house. So I was praying, and nothing was happening. And then somehow this gift came active that this was a spirit. And we had actually just come from a camp meeting, and there had been teachings about this, so that must have helped. And this spirit was an anti-Messiah, antichrist spirit, trying to block the gospel from going forth. So I said, okay. And I commanded that spirit to leave, and the headache went away immediately. And the other thing that I noticed was that, do you ever had this happen? You're in a room or you're someplace and there was a fan on, and somebody shuts it off. And all of a sudden you didn't notice there was a fan on while it was on, but you really notice how noisy it was when it shuts off, right? So as soon as I commanded the spirit, all of a sudden it was like, oh, it just got really quiet. There was all this buzzing going on beforehand. And I don't know what that means, but sometimes when there's a spirit active, it's a buzzing. That's what I see or hear. And our son was fine. Another incident, we had a child who refused to eat, and we yelled, we spanked, we punished, we bribed. Nothing worked until we discerned and broke the power of a rebellious spirit. It just went away. Just went away. Another incident, a child having nightmares, monsters appearing in dreams. By this age, we had taught the child to resist the enemy. But these monsters, they looked like Sesame Street characters. So the child didn't think they were evil and tolerated them. Once they were described and we explained who they were, the child was able to stand against them. Why did Satan have the ability to attack our children? We don't know. It could have been the children's own sin. It could have been our before Yeshua sin. Could have been sins, things that we were unaware of that we were doing that opened the door to him. Could have been generational. We don't know. But I remember after a bunch of those incidences, I actually decided I'm not going to discipline my children anymore until I pray first for discerning of spirits. And that I tried to hold to that always after that. So we have to learn to protect our children and our grandchildren and teach them to resist Satan for themselves. So those are some about children, but the Lord then led me to other experiences that I've shared with some of you, but I want to share them again. Other experiences where the battle is not physical, and again, where battling physically is like boxing with a blindfold. Mark chapter 9, this is the other incident. One of the crowd gave him the answer, "Rabbi, I brought my son to you because he has an evil spirit in him that makes him unable to talk. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes stiff all over. I asked your disciples to drive the spirit out, but they couldn't do it." What does that sound like? To those of you who have any medical knowledge, it's a seizure, right? So I've had the experience 4 times of being in the presence of people when they've had seizures. Twice, it was in the middle of a group of believers. Once, in the middle of a group of unbelievers, once in like a mixed group. And each time, as soon as I could see what was happening, the Spirit of God said, command the spirit of epilepsy out of that person. Now, you think that that's crazy or that's not in line with medical science, but that's what I heard the Holy Spirit say to do. Twice among believers, I was bold enough to do it. And both times, the person immediately came out of the seizure. And what amazed me, actually, was not so much that, but it was that I was the only one in this big crowd that was new enough to do it. It seems like it should have been something everybody was doing. Once, and I'll share this sadly, I was in a group of unbelievers, and I wasn't bold enough. I was afraid, so I didn't. And that person didn't recover and died. And that was a really hard lesson for me to learn. After that, the 4th time happened, and some of you were there. It was actually at, is Raphael here still? Yeah, at Fran's funeral. I don't know if you remember it, but I was doing Raphael's wife's funeral, and there was a boy there who had a seizure right in the middle of the funeral service. Remember it? And I did step out. It was a mixed crowd, commanded deliverance, and the boy recovered. I'd learned my lesson. So another thing to understand about this is that it's important to discern what spirit needs to be cast out. I've had some people say, well, you know, if you have authority over the forces of evil, just cast them all out. You know, what do you need to know which one it is? Well, here's the reason. It's important that the person being delivered knows what they were delivered from. Why? Because it's going to try to come back. It's going to try to come back, and if they don't know what it was, then they're prone to letting it come back. So I just want to conclude it, look at some other issues other than the diseases that can be caused by spiritual forces of evil, because sometimes people think, this is just about sickness. It's not. Fears. Human beings have 4,000 different fears in our English language. Fear of relationships, fear of getting close, fear of public speaking, fear of abandonment, fear of the dark, fear of gaining weight, fear of the inability to sleep, fear of financial loss, fear of man, fear of humiliation. All of those fears are being supported, being prompted by spirits of fear. When people can't get over fears, when they try and they can't get over them, I believe it's because a spirit has gained power over them, and they need to come against that spirit to overcome that fear. Another application that I've done often, especially needed this when I used to work at Xerox and I'd be in meetings. People can't agree, and they're arguing. So I would just quietly seek the Lord, and I would pray for discernment of what spirit is active here, and I'd bind that spirit, and I'd watch. And a few minutes later, everybody would agree. Another example, also happened a lot at Xerox, but happens a lot here too. We have a problem. We can't find a solution. So bind Satan's power to keep us from knowing what that solution is. And pretty soon, somebody has a thought. Oh, why don't we do this? Oh, we weren't seeing this. And we get a solution. I always bind the power of Satan before the service. Every time. Those of you who see me come up to the prayer room, right? What do I always do? Always bind the power of Satan before the service, before it starts, because I know he wants to stop everything that goes on here. He wants to stop the move of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to end, but I just want to give one caveat here. I'm not encouraging you to look for a demon under every rock. Okay? Okay? Some things are just physical. If the toilet gets stopped up, it's not a demon in the toilet necessarily. Okay? But many things have a spiritual reason why they're happening. And they must be dealt with in the spirit. And here's the thing. I believe we err on the side of battling in the physical much more than we err on the side of battling in the spirit. We should, if we err on the side of battling in the spirit, that would be better. And also, it's also been pretty clear to me that it doesn't do any harm to battle in the spirit. So you're up against something and you can't figure out why it won't work, and you say, okay, Lord, show me if there's a spirit, and you get some idea and you pray against it. Maybe you were wrong, but so what? It doesn't do any harm. And it could very well be that that would break the power that is resisting whatever you're doing. Okay, so let's pray. Father, I just pray that we would all be able to grasp the importance of the paradigm shift brought by your pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all of your followers, that you have a gift for us. And that gift is the ability to discern spirits, to discern the spirit world, to be able to see what's happening in the spirit world and not just deal with things in the natural. And you've given us the gift of authority over those things. And so I pray, Father, for a holy frustration for each of us as we try to use our natural carnal abilities, our physical weapons, that we would feel like that person boxing with a blindfold on. We don't know what to swing at. And so now I'm going to pray, and if you would like to have the gift of discerning of spirits operate in your heart, in you, just raise up your hand to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I need this gift. Maybe you've got it already, but it can be turned up too. So Father, I pray that you would pour out this incredibly valuable gift. It's really the opening of our spiritual eyes and ears so that we can see into the spirit world and see what is opposing us. And I believe, Lord, just as Desi testified before earlier today, that when we ask for a gift from you, you give it. You wouldn't call it a gift if you didn't want to give it to your children. Your word tells us to seek the better gifts. And I believe this is one of the best. This is one of the best gifts. Increase our faith, Father, in the weapons that you've given us. Those weapons that are not carnal, those weapons that enable us to have the power over all the spiritual forces of evil. Teach us to use, Lord, the name of Yeshua, the blood of Yeshua, the power to break curses, the power to bind and loose. And we just thank you, Lord, for the power that you want us to have. And we commit to using it for your glory and your kingdom. And Father, I just want to pray especially for those of us who are parents and grandparents right now. If you're a parent or grandparent, just raise up your hands. We understand, Lord, that the enemy attacks our children, attacks our grandchildren, and it just breaks our heart to see the way in which the enemy abuses. He's an abuser. And so we ask for special discernment to deal with the spiritual forces of evil sent to harass, oppress, torment, weaken, and sicken our children and our grandchildren. And we don't have to even, you know, if they're not, their parents aren't believers in their grandchildren, we don't have to confront them about this, and they don't have to believe the gospel. We can stand against those things for those children. So, Father, we pray for that authority to stand for our children and our grandchildren. And we also pray to help us to teach our children their authority and ability to operate in this world, in the spirit world. So we pray for that gift of discerning of spirits and faith to resist for them too. And as we close, I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up after the Aaronic benediction. But let me just say that if you've got something like I described there, you know, with that thing about unforgiveness, there's something that you know you should be doing and you just can't get there, that could very well be a spiritual force that's keeping you from it.